Which one is it?
Text
40. 40. Thank you. That's two verses then. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, Chapter 6, entitled Maharaj Pariksit Passes Away, Text 40 and 41. Shinoti yaiman shputam Supta shruti sasunyadrik Yena vavyajate yasya Vyaktirakasha Atmana. Shinoti yaimam shputam. Supta shruti cha sunyadrik. Yena vavyajate yasya. Vyaktirakasha Atmana.
Shnotiya iman skotam.
Shnotiya iman skotam.
Sutta shutrecha sinyadri.
Sutta shutrecha sinyadri.
Yena vagvagyate yasya.
Yena vagvagyate yasya.
Vyaktirakasha Atmana.
Vyaktirakasha Atmana. Shinotiya imam spotam.
Shinotiya imam spotam.
Supta shrotre cha sunyade.
Supta shrotre cha sunyade.
Yena vat vyajate yasya.
Yena vat vyajate yasya.
Vyakti akasha atmana.
Vyakti akasha atmana.
Shinotiya imam
shrotam.
Supta
shrotre cha sunyadri.
Supta shrotre cha sunyadri.
Yena vajrate asyam.
Yena vajrate asyam.
Vyaktir akasha atmana.
Vyaktir akasha atmana.
Ladies. Verse also 41. Svadam no brahmana shakshat vachaka paramatmanaha sasarva mantra panishat veda bijam sanatanam. It may not be on your sheet, but they are together in one translation. So Shinoti hears. Yah, who? Imam. This. Shputam. Unmanifest. An eternal subtle sound. Supta shrote. When the sense of hearing is asleep. cha, end. Sunyadrik, devoid of material sight, and other sensory functions. Yena, by which, vag, the expanse of Vedic sound. Vyajayate, is elaborated. Yasya, of which. Vyakti, the manifestation. Akashe, in the sky of the heart. Atmanaha,
from the soul.
Svadamnaha, who is his own origin. Brahmanaha, of the absolute truth. Saksat, directly. Vachakaha,
the designating term.
Parama Atmanaha,
of the Super Soul.
Saha,
that.
Sarva,
of all.
Mantra,
Vedic hymns.
Upanishad,
the secret.
Veda,
of the Vedas.
Bijam,
the seed.
Sanatanam,
eternal.
Translation. This Omkara, ultimately non-material and imperceptible, is heard by the Supersoul without his possessing material ears or any other material senses. The entire expanse of Vedic sound is elaborated from Omkara, which appears from the soul within the sky of the heart. It is direct designation of the self, originating absolute truth, the Supersoul, and is the secret essence and eternal seed of all Vedic hymns. Purport. The senses of a sleeping person do not function until he has awakened. Therefore, when a sleeping person is awakened by a noise, one may ask, who heard the noise? The words supta shroti in this verse indicate that the Supreme Lord within the heart hears the sound and awakens the sleeping living entities. The Lord's sensory activities always function on a superior level. Ultimately, all sounds vibrate within the sky and in the internal region of the heart. There is a type of sky meant for the vibration of Vedic sounds. The seat or source of all Vedic sounds is the Omkara. This is confirmed by the Vedic statement, Om iti eta brahmano nidistam nama. The full elaboration of the Vedic seat sound is Srimad Bhagavatam, the greatest Vedic literature. Om Jnana Timanandasya Jnanana Salakya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sigoro Siyutapada Kamalam Sigurum Vaisnavamscha Sirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vidantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vidamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Visadana Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the higher regions of the universe, there one can constantly hear the transcendental sounds for glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many sages who are reciting prayers, and it says that the Kinnaras, who are having bodies with wings, just like our Garuda, when they fly, their wings are producing the sound of the Samaveda, of all the four Vedas. Particularly, the Samaveda is the one that has been recorded in a musical meter. So, therefore, the Samaveda is particularly meant for recitation. In this way, throughout the sky, within the universe, transcendental sound is heard. So it is said, akasho atmanaha, that in the same way, there is a sky within the heart, which is also designed for transcendental sound to resound. That is the point. When we describe or hear such descriptions, then it sounds like far out. But the truth of the matter is that we are far out, far away, far out from the absolute truth. And therefore, such descriptions may sound like not relating to reality. Is the heart meant for like glorification of the Supreme Lord? Well, you know, tell that at Checkers, and they'll look at you and think you're just somewhere in the clouds. But they are in the clouds. Nam pakasa sarvasa yogamaya samavrita. They have become covered by Krishna's yogamaya energy, Krishna's illusory energy, and therefore cannot understand that actually this chanting is a natural activity to describe the glories of the Lord is natural. It may, to the materialist, appear very very artificial to constantly chant the holy name. There were, in the earlier days of our movement in America, there were formal brainwashing charges. There was a court case where basically it was pointed out that the chanting of Hare Krishna is brainwashing. The term brainwashing was first coined by a scientist named Lifton, and it was in relation to prisoners of war in Korea, because the Koreans had a tactic that they would lock up their prisoners and through loudspeakers they would just constantly, 24 hours a day, bombard them with communist propaganda. Then keep them from sleeping and food so that they would become mentally and physically weak. And then these people would just mentally break and take up communism. But then after a short while, they would snap out of it. But some of them were like completely changed, had become communist and would testify that communism is the true way and so on. So they were accusing that Krishna consciousness is like that, that it is a process through which by constant sound vibration we interfere with the normal functioning of the brain and mind, and in that way the mind just becomes conditioned to that sound and starts to think like that. But of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it clear, nam namakari bahudani chisarva saktis tatarpita niyamata smalamena kala Itadri Sita Vakripa Bhagavan Mama Vidur Daivam Idrisam Yahajini Namuraka. This chanting of the holy name, it is invested with all the energies of the Supreme Lord. It is the Supreme Lord Himself. It is non different from Him. And therefore, by chanting, we awaken the real understanding of reality. That's actually what it is. If we don't see the Supreme Lord behind everything, then we are missing the point. I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada made the point and said, love is for Krishna. We think we love so many things, but all that love is not going to last. Right? The only love that can last is love for Krishna. No other love can last. Yeah? It's like, no matter how deep it may be experienced now, right? Just like, you know, between parents and children, such a deep love, but then how long are the souls together? Then the souls separate again. Bhagavatam looks at it from the bigger picture, from the bigger perspective of time. And it's pointing out to us that life after life, the living being is going through so many births in the material world. And for a moment, excuse me. For a moment, like two straws floating together on the river of time. Just for a moment, these two straws are floating together, and then the waves will separate them. So our material love, even for those who are so dear to us, time will separate us. So that doesn't mean that once we have assimilated this philosophy that now we must become cold, and that in this world, therefore, there is no meaning to human relationships and affection and so on. No. We can remain affectionate and so on, but we can understand that those feelings of love, right, only become meaningful if we connect them with the Supreme Lord, because then the eternal element comes into the relationship. Then in that relationship of affection, there is eternal spiritual advancement. So if we are not giving Krishna consciousness to our loved ones, then there is no love at all. Right? That is just an illusion. Just for a moment, I love you so much, and then it's all disappeared again. And there is no such thing as eternal love in the material world. The Taj Mahal was built by Shah Jahan, right? Shah Jahan was married to Mumtaz, who was his favorite wife, and Mumtaz gave birth to his son, who was Aurangzeb. Aurangzeb, later it came out, was very cruel. And the first thing, and Aurangzeb killed many, but the first thing he did was kill his mother at birth, right? Because she died at childbirth. Anyway, then, you know, that was such a drama for Shah Jahan that Shah Jahan still loved Mumtaz, even after death. So then he built the Taj Mahal on one side of the Yamuna, this beautiful white monument, as a monument to commemorate Mumtaz. Took a long time to build. It was very expensive, obviously. So meanwhile, Aurangzeb was growing up. Now, it was the plan of Shah Jahan to build another Taj Mahal on the other side of the Yamuna. But that was supposed to be a black one. And then there was supposed to be a bridge in between. And then that would become his grave, the black one. And then the bridge in between was the symbol of their eternal love, which transcends death. Violins and everything started playing. So much sentiment, my God. Anyway, Aurangzeb was shaking his head, and he locked his father up. He locked him up. He said he spent so much money on that building, totally useless, and now he wants to build another one. Forget it. And he locked him up and took over the throne. So there is no such thing, actually. The truth of the matter is that sometimes some souls stay together for a number of lives. For a number of lives, they may stay together in different relationships. It depends, right? They may not always be husband and wife, right? They may change roles. Husband may become the wife, wife may become the husband, or one may become a child. So many varieties of karmic relationships may be there. Changes may be there, but some souls remain connected for a while. But then time will separate them. But between Vaishnavas, eternal relationships can be established. Eternal relationships exist. They exist by when Vaishnavas engage together in glorification of the Supreme Lord. Then everything becomes eternal. Then also our relationships become eternal. And then the relationships continue in the spiritual world. So that is even possible for devotees to continue their eternal relationships in the eternal realm. Also, the relationship between guru and disciple is described to be eternal, an eternal relationship. So the question may be raised then, does that mean that the relationship was already there before, eternal? Eternal means ever after, but also ever before. So this is a topic that has been debated many times, yes, and there are opinions, and it's not so, we don't have so much clear indication. Some have said yes, eternal means ever after and ever before. And others have said eternal means from now on, forever. Yeah. That if a relationship may develop here in this world, that it continues forever. Whatever may be, the most important focus for us is that it is forever. But if I already have an eternal relationship with the spiritual master, then how will I recognize him? That question comes. How will I recognize that he is the one? Yeah, the one. There may be many spiritual masters, but then I have to find my spiritual master. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. Because the fact of the matter is, in the spiritual world, we can have more than one. We can have many, many spiritual masters. There's no difficulty. So it's not necessarily so that the spiritual master who accepted us in a previous life now will accept us again. But isn't it so that Srila Prabhupada said that if the disciple is not delivered, that the spiritual master comes back to deliver that disciple? Yes, Prabhupada said. Harikesh mentioned that in his presence, Prabhupada said to one devotee, when will you get serious? I've been trying to deliver you for 600 lifetimes. So that may be. But it is also explained that it's not necessarily so that the spiritual master will personally come back to deliver the disciple. He may also do that through another agent. Yeah. Well, so we may have so many spiritual masters. that in this life, one spiritual master, maybe, and we don't go back, maybe in the next life, again, another spiritual master. It may not be that our spiritual master comes back fully. It may be that he works through someone else. All these things are possible on the spiritual platform, so we cannot fully understand. But the essence of the relationship, the eternal element of the relationship, is glorification of Krishna. It is that. That is the substance of any relationship. When there is no glorification of Krishna, then there is no genuine relationship. That makes any relationship genuine. With any person, any place. When there's no glorification of Krishna, it's not a genuine relationship. Boma ijjati. To think that we belong to the country of our birth. It's not a genuine relationship, unless it's related to the glorification of Krishna. Birth in Vrindavan, genuine. Glorification of Krishna is there. So that is the criterion. The criterion is simply Krishna Kirti, the glorification of Krishna constantly. And that is our business. So this Omkara or Pranav is described here, and this Omkara is described as springing forth of the Supreme Lord, and that it is the Supreme Lord in sound, and that it is representing the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which explains Aham Savasya Prabhavo Mata Savam Pravartate Iti Mata Bhajantimam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. It says that Om is the origin of everything spiritual and everything material. Yeah. Like that. That is all included in there. And in this way, we are seeing that this Om mantra is the root of every Vedic mantra. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya, after meeting his spiritual master Ishvara Puri and becoming initiated, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to manifest his transcendental consciousness. And he began to manifest this Krishna consciousness. And he explained every Vedic mantra and every word to mean Krishna. Right? So, which is the ultimate meaning of Om. Our acharyas, our Vaishnava acharyas, are explaining how Om actually is referring to Radha and Krishna. And I could not, off the top of my head, repeat that. I would have to prepare that to be able to explain that. From memory, I couldn't do it. But Jiva Goswami gives a technical explanation how the syllables of Om, which are it's the A, the U, and the M, three letters, right? And how these three letters are referring to Radha and Krishna, or the eternal spiritual reality. So there is no difference in a way. But in another way, there is a difference, because Krishna is particularly referring to the personal aspect of Krishna. Whereas Om is referring to Param Satyam. Param Satyam, or the absolute truth. But Srila Prabhupada explains that when we come to Krishna, we understand that Param Satya, that same Param Satyam, that same Absolute Truth, is Parameshwar, or the Supreme Controller. And when we speak about controller, then we speak about personality. Therefore, Bhagavatam, which is elaborated on four root verses, the Chatursloki. These Chatursloki are the four root verses which were manifested to Lord Brahma from Om. First he heard this Omkara, and then from Omkara he heard the Chatursloki, and then from this Chatursloki the entire Bhagavatam manifested, so it is explained. I tried once to trace out where these Chatursloki are mentioned as like being the root of the Bhagavatam. Was able to trace it as far back as the commentary of Sridhar Swami. So that's basically authoritative enough. Further, I could not find any earlier reference than that. But Sridhar Swami has mentioned these Chatursloki. So these Chatursloki are further elaborating on the meaning of Om. And Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us the full explanation of Om, which is ultimately Krishna. Because everything is not only emanating from Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satsidananda Vigraha. It's not that everything is emanating from Krishna, but everything is also meant for Krishna. Everything is meant, the purpose of everything is for Krishna. Nothing that exists exists for any other purpose. Everything exists for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. And that is our understanding. We also only exist for that purpose of pleasing Krishna, not for any other purpose. So when we want to do anything else, then it's nonsense. That's like, that's simply what it is. Of course, that may be that we want to do some other things, but and it's a little difficult for us to accept that it's nonsense, but that's the truth. At least philosophically we can begin to contemplate like this. Because nonsense in the sense that it will not bring any lasting result. You see? It will bring only temporary result, happiness and distress. So what is the point? Anything that will not bring any lasting result is nonsense. What's the point? Yeah. What's the point? You see on the beach, they build all these things from sand, you know, like they're good, you know, like want some nice things, some horrible things also. One, we've been walking there the last few days to get some exercise, so I've been studying what's there. One man, and of course, you know, whatever people make, a psychologist can of course do a whole psychoanalysis on the consciousness of the person. And there was a well, you know, there were the typical African things, lion and so on. And but one man, he made a car, you know, it's like going like totally like more urban, you know. It's like more urban. He's into these kind of things. And then another one, he had a horrible one of a man whose head was just bitten off by a crocodile. And it's like quite creative. The man was lying on the beach with a cell phone and so on. So, well, there's different states of consciousness. I guess he's looking more at the ghastly feature of the material energy. Something like, as some are worshipping Kali to pacify the goddess Kali, I think he is more a Shakta, in the mood of a Shakta, one who is seeing the ghastliness of the material energy and contemplating how to pacify that material energy. So different states of consciousness are displayed in the temporary creations of sand on the beach. But how long will they last? Beautiful art, but very temporary, very temporary. So, like that. That's why these things are nonsense. People spend so much time with computer games, Space Invaders, or shoot them all, right? But this is just, and they think, we're killing some time. But actually they're atmaha, they're killing the soul. Because they're killing the natural propensity of the soul to glorify Krishna and instead get involved with the temporary activity of nonsense, something that has no meaning. So we must increase our glorification of Krishna somehow or other. That is our business. That's why Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Nativi, that's why we count our rounds. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we are counting our rounds so that we can that we can remain aware that we are increasing, that we are not only maintaining but also increasing. That's the idea. Maintaining, we are maintaining with the idea to increase. So we're maintaining a certain, of course, physically one comes to a limit, and how much can we physically chant, but we'll find ways to increase our glorification of Krishna. Like it is said, the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they would even chant the name of Krishna in between bites, which is nice. When we are like that, absorbed in the glorification of Krishna, then everything becomes auspicious. And then the material, temporary nature is conquered. The material nature, as our man, as our artist with the crocodile depicted, is ultimately coming in the form of death. Mrityusarvaharasitaham. In the form of death, I take everything away in the material world. But for a devotee who is always glorifying Krishna, death is not so much a problem. I was hearing how Prabhupada said, yes, a devotee at the time of death closes his eyes, and when he opens them again, then he's with Krishna in the pastimes of Krishna. So that's not too bad. Close your eyes, open them, and you're with Krishna. So in this way, this constant glorification of Krishna is gradually transferring us to the spiritual realm. So that's the purpose of our existence. That's the purpose of life. And that's the purpose of our time. That is the purpose of the day. That is the purpose of anything. Simply use it for the glorification of Krishna. And of course we can do that in many ways, right? We can do that by if only those sand artists would make beautiful forms of Krishna, right? Then suddenly they would become part of it, part of the eternal activity. Dhruva Maharaj also, it's described, made a deity of earth. He went to, when Dhruva went to the forest, Dhruva did three things as a sadhana. One is he performed Astanga Yoga, and it's like holding his breath and doing all kinds of things like that, pranayama. The other one, he did deity worship. He made a deity out of earth. And the third thing, he chanted. He chanted the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So in this way, we, in various ways, are worshipping Krishna. We control the senses, just like Dhruva did, through yoga. We are stopping from engaging in material activities and sinful activities. And then we engage them, either in worshipping Krishna in his deity form or glorifying him through the holy name. In that way, we become reestablished in our original position in the spiritual world with Krishna eternally. Any questions now? Any comments? Someone has to help, if you can understand it. Yeah, Chaitanya. It's like, it's tough. But you're getting better. I can still not understand it, but slowly you begin to speak some words, and that's good. But if you cannot speak so nice, if you cannot speak, then you meditate on Krishna. Ram. Yeah, he's a Ram Bhakta. I think he's also a Krishna Bhakta, but Ram is easy to say. If I was him, I would also say Ram. Ram. I think when he says Ram, he actually means the whole Maha Mantra. Is there any other question? Yeah. In conclusion, I can say that Omkara is representing the opulence of Krishna, the Aishvarya, and the name Krishna represents the sweetness of Krishna. So, therefore, we prefer the name Krishna. But there is none. But they are none different, Om and Krishna. But Om, the unlimited opulence of Krishna, and Krishna, the sweetness. So we'll stick with Ram and Krishna and taste the sweetness. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.